Would you all stand with me? None of us want to suffer shipwreck with regards to the faith, do we? This is scriptures from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for this beautiful day. This is a day that you've made, Lord. And Lord, we so rejoice in this day. We're grateful for this day of life. We're thankful, God, for our physical lives. We thank you, God, for our abundant life we have in Christ. We thank you, God, for our eternal life that we have in the Lord Jesus. Lord, you've come to give us life and life abundantly. As we gather here today, Father, we come to worship you in spirit and truth. We come, Lord, to learn from you. We come, God, in the assembly of believers. We pray, Lord, that you would walk amongst us this day. May you touch our eyes that we might see you even more clearly. May our ears hear the still small voice of God today. As you speak to us as a congregation, an individual people whom you love. God, we love you. We're on our journeys today. We've come to this place to learn from you. And this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And all those who love God would say what?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all may be seated. It's good to see you. Okay, so how many people in here are rooting for the Patriots today? I'm just kind of curious. All right, how many people are going for Atlanta today, right? All right, okay. All right, sounds like poor Atlanta. Well, they've never won, so we'll wait and see. So it's kind of fun to watch football with Pastor Graham because he likes cricket. Right? And so we're trying to explain to him the merits of football. He thinks we look kind of wussy wearing all this gear on ourselves. But you know, sometimes in life you have something that happens that you just go, that was amazing, right? In 2003, I had an experience that I still talk about to this day that just blows my mind. My cousin's son was and still is in the Navy, and in 2003 he had just come back from a deployment on an aircraft carrier called the USS Theodore Roosevelt, and as it came back to Norfolk, Virginia, they opened up this ship for a Tiger cruise, and they allowed family members to come on this ship and spend 3 days of sailing off the Atlantic coast. And here's kind of a picture of it. This is Theodore Roosevelt. I spent 3 days on this ship with my cousin and my little boy. My dad went with me, who's a Navy guy. We got to sleep. These are the bunks you sleep in. You want to know where their lockers are? Under the mattress. All their longings. It was so cool. So we got to sleep on this ship for 3 days, sail off the coast of Atlanta. Check this out. I was sitting in the captain's chair. Not bad, right? Pretty cool, sitting with the captain's chair. I took this picture as this plane was landing on the flight deck just right before me. It was so cool. I even got to hit golf balls off the sucker. It was a really cool experience for me, for my family, and it was kind of interesting. This huge aircraft carrier, you know what this aircraft carrier needs in order to sail? It needs people. It just doesn't sail on its own. One thing it needs is it needs people. And not just people, but within the crew that was on that ship, there were certain other people on the ship called officers. We're doing a series called Shipwreck, and it's an interesting concept. The Apostle Paul speaks to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, 2,000 years ago, there are people that are walking with the Lord, but their faith has become shipwrecked. And as soon as I saw this, I'm like, that's an interesting metaphor, because the Apostle Paul himself, actually lived through a literal shipwreck. His ship ran aground, a sailing vessel, on the island of Malta. And you can read about it in the book of Acts. And the Apostle Paul, writing to his young protege in Ephesus, says, Timothy, stay strong in the Lord. Remember your calling as a pastor. He says, don't suffer shipwreck, as some have. And even when you read, the Apostle Paul even names certain people whose faith has run aground. And I thought this would be a great series, right? Wouldn't it be cool for this new year to do a series called Shipwreck? Because I don't want any of us in here to suffer shipwreck in the year of 2017. In order to not suffer shipwreck with regards to your faith, you need a compass. Because the compass will steer you where you need to go. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, right? The word of God. If you follow this, you will not run aground. You need a compass. If you want to not suffer shipwreck with regards to your faith, prepare yourself for storms, because storms come. You've been in storms, and you're going into storms again. That's just life. Jesus says, in this world you will suffer trials and tribulations, but take courage, I've overcome the world. Pastor Vince last Sunday gave a great message on how to prepare for storms. Because if you prepare for them, you can sail through them and still survive with your faith. If you don't want to suffer shipwreck, you need crews. You need these people. Okay, guys? There's no lone rangers in this thing. You can't sail your ship alone. You need other people. You need other people. You need shipmates. You need a crew. You can't do it alone. And you know what else you need? You need these people, according to the Bible. Now, I wasn't going to do Captain Jack Sparrow. But has anyone ever seen Master and Commander? Russell Crowe's pretty good. He's an officer on a ship, Master and Commander, great movie. He's actually reading the Bible. One of his sailors had passed away. I thought, that's a good scene. Check this out. This is the truth. If you do not want to suffer shipwreck, you need officers, leaders, shepherds, pastors in your life. You have these people in your life. You won't suffer shipwreck. Now, whose idea was it to have spiritual leaders in our lives? Does anyone know? Christ, right? Let me read it again. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Why? To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I like this. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves. Have you ever seen people, young believers, that just get tossed back and forth by every wave of teaching, of doctrine? We will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. You guys, Jesus, out of all the disciples, in the book of Luke, it says he stayed up all night in prayer, and then he chose 12 and called them apostles. The apostles is what started, or Jesus used to start, the Jesus movement 2,000 years ago. There are prophets, prophetic utterance in the New Testament, prophecy being given. There's evangelists. These are leaders with special gifts to evangelize, like Billy Graham is the greatest evangelist in our time, right? There are people called pastors, or even a better word, they're like shepherds that watch over. There are teachers, right? All these are officers of leadership in the church. Officers on the deck of our ships of faith. And they're here to help us sail and not suffer shipwreck, right? What's the purpose? To equip you. Take notes this morning. All right, God, why are officers on the deck of the ships of our faith? What is their purpose? Write this down. Take notes on these things. And when you get in groups this week, discuss these things. What is the role of spiritual leaders. It's this. You ready? To equip the crew for the work of service. We're here to equip you. People, when you became a Christian, you didn't join. The church is not a building, it's a movement. Do you understand that? The church is not a building, it's a movement that started 2,000 years ago when Jesus came up out of the grave. He's a Messiah, the Son of God. And this is a movement of people meeting, knowing, and following Jesus. And it's crossed millennia. Leaders are raised up to help us sail better, to serve Christ and to serve one another. There's purpose of leaders in our lives to equip us for service. It's very important. They're there. Write this down. To protect the unity of the Spirit. The oneness of who we are in Christ is a precious gift to be guarded in the church by the leaders. And by the way, it's not easy. A unity and a oneness. Earlier in Ephesians, Paul says these words. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Do you know how hard it is to have everybody walk as one? Did y'all hear that we had two homicides in Irvine last Tuesday? Did y'all hear about that? Green Tree Elementary School, y'all heard about it, right? So I think we had three homicides last year. We've already had two this year. I mean, our ratings as the safest city in America could maybe dip. I don't know. While that was going on, I was having lunch on Tuesday with two detectives from the Irvine Police Department, 1 o'clock on Tuesday. And I was talking, one of them, I think I was set up, to be honest. I think that my buddy Steve wanted me to go out to lunch with this other guy. And so I ended up, I was sharing Christ while this homicide was going on. I was talking to this wonderful detective brother, and he began asking me, we began talking, I'm hearing about his spiritual journey. He was born and raised in the church. He was going to be a pastor. He was heading for ministry. And then all of a sudden he stopped. You want to know why? Church split. Church split. His church went through a split. The pastor had an affair. He just threw the whole thing out. I am kind of done. He says, so I just decided I don't go to church anymore, chaplain. He's church damaged. He's church damaged. I understand and I totally get it. Do you know how hard it is to keep the unity of the church and the bond of peace? Do you think that's simple? It's tough. I was bragging. Hey, we have a great church. So tell me about your church, chaplain. Praying for this guy. Do you know how hard it is? Do you know that the role of a pastor is to equip? The leaders in the church are here to preserve the unity that we have in Christ, in the bond of peace. Do you know how difficult that is? I'm just curious. How many people in here have ever gone through a church split? How many people in here would say that you are, in your history, you've been church damaged? Church damaged. Yeah. Happens. See, just because we're called to do this as spiritual leaders, it doesn't make it easy. And when you even add like spiritual stuff and Satan trying to divide the body and all these things. What's the purpose of leaders, Jesus? Why leaders? Why officers on deck? To equip the saints for service, to preserve the unity of the church and the bond of peace. Write this down. Building up the crew to be seasoned sailors. It says in this text that we're supposed to help people into spiritual maturity, right? Helping people grow in maturity, learning how to be better sailors in our ships of faith, to understand who Christ is and who we are in his image and all these things, right? There are people in our lives. Spiritual leaders are here to protect the course, protecting the course of our faith from bad teaching. That's a mandate of spiritual leaders. I'm just sitting there reading this text. Years ago, we had a family come here, and they liked our church, but she was just convinced that you had to be water baptized to be saved. You don't need to be water baptized to be saved. Was the thief on the cross water baptized in order to be washed clean of his sin? Answer? No. There are people within the church that think that if you're not water baptized, you're not going to heaven. That's bad teaching. And I was so glad. Hey, I'm glad you're here. Glad you're liking it. I was their kids' baseball coach, you know, a machine pitch. They liked me, so I come to church. But they didn't like it that this church didn't teach that you had to be water baptized. And I'm like, no, no. They left. A few years ago, I had a man come in here, wonderful guy, love him dearly. He believes that the Old Testament, that Jesus is the God of the Old Testament, and Jesus now is introducing us to a new God, the Father, in the New Testament. No! He's polytheistic. Two gods? No. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one, and you will love the Lord your God. There's only one God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I talk with this guy and talk with this guy, and I finally said, man, you can come and be here. You cannot be a teacher here. If you want to come and try to learn Jesus, come. You cannot be a teacher here. He's not here anymore. He can't teach here. That's bad teaching, people. That is just being tossed here and there. Our job as spiritual leaders are to protect the course. People, write this down. Doctrine is important. Preserving truth is important. That's our job. That's the leader's job. Truth is important. The truth of who Jesus is important. Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus says, unless you believe that I am He, you all die in your sins. He who? Christ. He's not just a prophet. He's just not a median, one of the medians, seven manifestations of deity in Buddhism. He's not just a prophet in Islam. He's the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Amen. Doctrine is important. Truth is important. Belief affects behavior, people. To know the truth will set you free. So you get it? So, okay, so what's the role of the officers on the ship? Man, they are there to equip the church for service. They're there to protect the unity of the church and the bond of peace. They're there to build up the crew to be mature in their faith. They're here to protect the course. Doctrine's important. What's the requirements of being a leader? What's the requirements of being an officer in Christ's Navy? Does anyone know? Do you want to know what the number one requirement is? To love the Lord. I like this song, Transfiguration, Peter watching Jesus getting transfigured. Later on, there's a favorite place we like to go to, and it's the beach where Jesus speaks with Peter. And every time we go to Israel, we walk on the beach and we enter into the conversation that Jesus has with Peter. And it blows out like this. It's in John 21:15, early in the morning. We actually get to the beach early in the morning, so we want to see, you know, right after breakfast. And it says this. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then he said to him, then tend my lambs, shepherd my flock, feed my flock, watch over my sheep, lead my people. It comes from a love of Christ. A leader has to be transfigured in their view of who Jesus is. That's the first requirement. Any person has to have a moment of transfiguration where Christ moves from a historical figure or a really good to Christ. And there's this meeting with Jesus. Every spiritual leader, the first thing they need to have is a love for Jesus. A love for Christ. They have to be motivated by a love for Christ. It's so cool. I'm about ready to read you a text that means a lot to me as a pastor. And this text is found in Peter's second epistle. And the apostle Peter is getting ready to be martyred for his faith in Rome under Nero. And he writes this letter. This is the last letter that he wrote before he dies for Christ. And in it, he starts speaking to other spiritual leaders or other pastors in the church. And listen to what Peter says to them. This means so much to me personally. It's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Listen to this. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you. That means leaders. As your fellow elder, he says, I'm a fellow leader in the church. He says, I'm a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. He says, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion. Not because you have to, right? But voluntary, because you want to, right? According to the will of God, there's a calling in it. And he says, and not for money. Don't do this for money. How many pastors do you think might be out there that are doing it for the money?
Quite a few.
Instead of feeding the flock, they feed off the flock. They're out there. They'd be really good used car salesmen. Don't want to bag on a used car salesman. Sorry, Dave. But they make a lot more money peddling the gospel. Peter says, you don't do this for money. But with an eagerness, right? Not as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proven to be examples of the flock. You have to live this thing out. And he says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory. And I like this. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility. Very important. Toward one another. Did you know that God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble? Isn't that a great text? What is the requirement of a leader? That's beautiful, Peter. It's like Jesus passed the baton to me as the first leader of the church. And he says, I'm passing the baton on to the leaders as I'm dying. And he says, this is what's important. I love it. You have to manifest godly character, right? Write this down. Here's notes, right? More notes. They have to be people who live out godly character. It's not just what you say, but it's how you live. And that's so cool. Peter, we'll leave you, and we'll go back to Paul again, who came up with the idea of shipwreck. Paul is writing to Timothy, who's a leader in the church who wants to quit. You stand your ground in Ephesus. You stay there. Fight the good fight. And then when you read Paul's letter to Timothy, he starts talking about, Timothy, find godly people and put them in places of leadership in the church. Timothy could say, well, who am I looking for in a leader? Well, here's a good list. Ready? 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. Here's a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, that's a pastor, right? Desires a noble task. Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife. So it sounds like polygamy might have been something back then, possibly, we don't know, right? Temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? That's a good question. He must not be a recent convert. He may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and in the devil's trap. How's that for a list? Did you notice that was all inner character qualities? It starts there. Are you a real person? Are you really following Christ? Is there godly character? People, that's foundational of the requirements of being a leader in God's church or being an officer on our ships of faith, right? Wonderful. It's funny, I was talking with, our old chief, Dave Maggart, wonderful guy, he's now the chief of LAX Police Department. Pray for him, okay? We were out talking one day at a lunch, and I said, you know, Dave, I go, name a profession where if you lost your marriage, you would lose your job. I go, if a cop lost his marriage, he lost his job, 76% divorce rate in that profession. That's the worst, next to Hollywood, who's 99% divorce rate. Okay? If think about this, people. How many of you have known of pastors who their families, their marriages fell apart and they are out? Why? Because there's something about inner quality of character. It's important. It's how we live our lives is so important to being a leader in the Church of Christ. Does that make sense? Do you understand? Very important. Our chief just smiled. Billy Graham said this, and here's a... Billy Graham was probably one of the greatest leaders I've ever met, certainly within Christendom. And he have you ever heard his story? He was up in Modesto, and he was hearing about these pastors and their marriages are falling apart. And Billy Graham got together with his guys, and he said, hey guys, we need to create safeguards around us so we don't let this happen to us. And it's called the Modesto Manifesto. Has anyone ever heard of it? Billy Graham, years ago, he said these three things. We cannot touch the gold, we cannot touch the glory, and we cannot touch the girls. The three G's. How can we protect the integrity of our ministry? We cannot touch the money, we cannot touch God's glory, and we can't touch the girls. And they came up with like, hey, every time that he's traveling, he had to have someone else sleep in the same room with him. And there was even stories of people trying to put prostitutes in Billy Graham's room. And he walks in there with him and Cliff Barrows, and what are you doing here? You need to leave. They all came up with this because character matters in the church. Isn't that good? Okay, how about this one? So there's this thing called officers on the ships. Very important. Jesus sets it up. Well, what's their purpose? Well, their purpose is to do these things. What's the requirements of leaders? Well, these are these things. Hey, what does the Bible say? How should we respond to the officers on the ship? Does anyone know? More notes. You ready? The Bible says you're supposed to honor people. 1 Timothy 5:17, the elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Honor these people. Did you know you're supposed to appreciate them? That's in the Bible. Listen to this. 1 Timothy 5:12 and 13, but we request you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord, and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. You're supposed to honor these people. You're supposed to appreciate them. And listen to this, you're supposed to listen to them. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Can hear this. Obey your leaders, Hebrews says, and submit to them. Why? For they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Does this sound serious? Does this sound serious? Keeping watch over eternal souls. Keeping watch over God's children, whom He loves and sent His Son to die on the cross for. We leaders will have to give an account of how we did this before Him one day. Hey, parents, do you kind of wonder who you're dropping your kids off with at daycare? Do you kind of want to know who they are? All you that have like little kids? Is that like really important to you? On a scale of 1 to 10, how important is that? These are your children. Do you understand? These are my kids. Who are you and what am I doing here, right? This is God. You people are very precious to Him. Do you understand that? He loves you very, very much. He knows each one of you by name. He cares for you and loves you. And He appoints, Peter, do you love me? Shepherd my feet, fleet, my flock, tend my sheep, feed my lambs. For Jesus to ask people to do this is serious stuff. What a calling, right? What a calling. This stuff will keep you up at night. Hey, if you want to avoid shipwreck with regards to your faith, you need a compass. The Word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. If you want to avoid shipwreck, prepare for storms because it just happens. Do you want to avoid shipwreck? Sail with other people because you need people in your life. You need shipmates. You need shipmates, right? Scripture says that we're commanded to love each other, pray for each other, encourage each other, admonish each other, serve each other, teach each other, accept each other, honor each other, forgive each other, be committed to each other, bear each other's burdens in the love of Christ. Can you do any of those things alone? Well, Pastor Frank, I don't go to church, but I listen to Christian radio. I listen to podcasts. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Answer, that's true. That's true. You don't need to go to church to be a Christian. You're washed in Christ, not by any works, lest anyone should boast. But you will never sail in your faith alone. You need other people and they need you. And you need pastors in your life. You need spiritual leaders in your life. They're here to keep watch over your soul. Is a podcast keeping watch over your soul? Anyone? That's stupid. Is the guy on the radio keeping watch over your soul? Anyone? No. They're teaching you, and that's great. They cannot do what Christ. It's Jesus is the one that set this up. People, we all need spiritual leaders in our lives. People that abandon church, they either do it for many different, one of them is they're just church damage, like my buddy. Pray for my buddy, right? He's just church damage. A lot of people say, I don't need to go to church. I don't need other people in my life. And I don't need any pastor or any spiritual people in my life. I can sail my ship alone. Do you know what that is? It's pride. And pride comes before the shipwreck. I don't need anybody. I can do this by myself. Shame on you. You're deceived. Watch the people that walk in this. They run aground. They're prideful and arrogant. We all need spiritual leaders in our life. I need spiritual leaders in my life. Did you know that Pastor Frank has a pastor pastoring over me? Did you know that? A few years ago, remember I had my highs. Man, there's a guy named Scott that's been pastoring me over these last years. He's just made me so healthy. Pouring into me, making me a better pastor and a better man of God. And I need these people. You need these people. It's a principle that crosses from top down. Hey, I'm the senior pastor at this church. Okay? Do you know what my job? Someday I'm going to give an account before God. Do I know all of you? Did you know that right now we've got about 100 people in the children's ministry, in the youth? Do I know them? Am I shepherding? Am I keeping watch over all their souls? I can't. But I have it's funny, God doesn't ask me to. Leadership is in a plurality of people. This church has amazing pastors here. Like Pastor Vince. Where did he go? Where's Pastor Vince? He took off. Guys, Pastor Vince is an amazing pastor. Pastor Graham, where did he go? Is he here? Hey, there he is up there. Pastor Graham, everybody wave to Pastor Graham. He's an amazing pastor. Do you understand me? Pastor Danny is a great next gen. Fina is a great, she's doing pastoral work, watching over those kids. Sterling is doing a great job with our college age. Steve Mendoza, 5th and 6th graders. They are helping me shepherd the flock of God. Dr. Shaner is a great teacher in the church. Mike Cranford's a great teacher. Those doing women's ministry and men's ministries. God bless these people. Those that are in the growth groups. Do you realize that this sermon today, there's like 171 people meeting in growth groups this week. There's 16 different leaders leading this. These people are so important to me because they're constantly giving me us feedback. Hey, how did your group go this week? Is anybody... Pastor Frank, this marriage might be on the rocks. Okay, we're on it. Hey, this one's lost his job. Okay, thank you, we're on it. Hey, this one's doing great. This one accepted Christ. This one's this. It's a top-down shepherding of pastors and leaders and teachers to our church, keeping watch over us. Who set this up? Jesus did. In his church, he's appointed people for leadership. This is a great church. Can I brag for a moment?
Yes.
I was bragging with my buddy, Detective Ed. Hey, bro, it sounds like you were in a church that was just really unhealthy. I go, and he started asking, tell me about your church, chaplain. Oh, this is our church. This is a healthy church. Are we perfect? Is your leaders perfect? Can leaders give you perfection? No, but you know what we can give you? Growth. PJ is a great worship leader. PJ is the quintessential worship pastor, missions pastor. See, I wrote him down, but if I don't do my notes, PJ, I'm sorry, dude. We cannot give you perfection. I mean, you know what? When we read those Timothy passages, it gives us like, oh, my, this isn't me. It drives us all to our knees. Our leadership team is amazing people, godly people. Oh, this stuff drives us. We're going to give an account before God one day. God bless these people. Healthy churches. Can I get confession time? My three sons, I have three sons right now. There are two things that I've tried desperately to warn my kids not to do. Do you know what it is? I beg them not to go into law enforcement. And I beg them not to go into ministry. And look who I am. I'm the police chaplain of Irvine Police Department. And I'm the senior pastor of a church in Irvine. But I tell my sons, if God calls you, then go do it. But it's really hard. But it's an awesome privilege. My heart is that none of you suffer shipwreck with regards to your faith this year. And we're going to do our best to shepherd and guide and lead and watch over this church. PJ, stand up. Pastor Graham, stand up. Is Dr. Shaner in here? Where is Mike? Stand up. Come on, give me some more. If you're a growth group leader, stand up. If you're a growth group leader running a growth group, I need you to stand up. If you're in the leadership team of this church, I need you to stand up. Okay? If you're in women's ministry, shepherding the women of this church, stand up. In the men's ministry, stand up. This is important stuff. There they are. There they are. Do you know what we need that's standing and stay standing? Do you know what we need? We need prayer. Can I ask you as a church, last week we prayed for people. Can I ask you guys, at the count of three, I want you just to start praying for the leadership of this church and for this church. Just between you and God. And you need to pray that we keep our hearts right before the Lord, that we're humble, that we're hearing God's voice. All those things that we read about, that we try to be, and we're all learning. I need you to pray for us. Would you pray for us? One, two, three. Preserve the unity of who we are in Christ from every nation, tribe, and tongue. We are one people, washed clean in the blood of the Lamb to serve our God. Every nation, tribe, and tongue to be a kingdom and priests. We are one in Christ. Preserve this unity of who we are in your eyes. I pray, Lord God, that you would watch over those that shepherd and guide and lead. God, may you give us a measure of your grace, a measure of your spirit. Lord, help us to be better than we can be because of Christ who lives within us. We ask, Lord, that you would protect us from the evil one, this church, and that you would sanctify this church in truth. Watch over us, God. You are the great shepherd, the great high priest. This is your church. You own it. You purchased it with your blood. This is yours. We are yours. Help us to follow you, Lord God. God, may you do wonderful things in our midst this year. I pray, Lord God, that you would help us. May none of us in this room suffer shipwreck with regards to our faith. Lord, may we all embrace the word of God. May we all, Lord, prepare our hearts for life and the storms that come and go. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would remind us to committed to each other and to love one another, to pray for one another, to honor each other, to serve one another, to forgive each other, to bear each other's burdens. For we are one family. We're one another's. And Lord God, we praise you for the leadership of who this church is. We ask God that you would fill the leaders to be supernatural great leaders. Because these people deserve the best, God. Keep us, Lord, from division. Keep us focused on Christ. Help us, Lord, to meet Jesus and to know Jesus and to follow Jesus. We will follow you. The Lord bless you all. The Lord keep you all. May God watch over you. May God lift up his countenance unto each and every one of you. And may God grant you what this world will never give you, people, peace. May the peace of Christ rule and reign in all of your hearts. May you all be transfigured. May you see the transfigured Christ. May you see him in his full glory of who he is and what he is. And may those images of who Jesus is just burn within you. May your love for him grow. May his spirit empower you to be mighty warriors this week for Christ. For the Lord has not given any of you in here a spirit of fear, but of great power and love and a sound mind. May you all walk in the power of the Lord this week. This is my prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. And all those who love God would say,
amen.
Amen. Hey, have a great week this week. Next week we're going to talk more about shipwreck. Two more in this series, and then we're cruising on a really cool series, cruising into Easter. We're going to sing a song called I Will Follow, and this will be a song that we'll be singing as we leave, and the thing is, we're going to follow Christ, right? Would you all stand with us? And after this song, you are dismissed.